Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Riverfront. This is, it's a show about the Cincinnati Reds, and we have fun on here, and we're here to recap the second series of the year, the first home series for the Cincinnati Reds, and if you can see what's behind Nate, that's really the recap, and we'll just stop. Not exactly the home opening series, I guess, that we were hoping for. But I guess we still have to recap it. But there was some excitement in some ways, and we're going to talk more about that on our weekly podcast. Won't get into it too deep here today. But Phil Castellini lost his mind just very quickly. Nate, a 10-second briefing. How much are we in Phil Castellini's head?
Living rent free, completely rent free. I think we broke him. It's been crazy how the national media has caught on, and Chris Garber tweeted the most appropriate response. I think he said he's saying the quiet parts out loud.
Yeah, absolutely, saying the quiet parts out loud. Well, again, we're gonna go do a deep dive in our weekly podcast that'll be available for everyone on Friday. But for now, we're here, to do this, our series recap, and so I want to go ahead and jump into that. Of course, the Reds got swept in the short two-game series by the Cleveland football team, and it was not particularly fun. But let's go game by game. First game, home opener, which, again, if it weren't for the ridiculous comments made by Phil Castellini, that's an exciting day. There was a pretty big crowd there that day. A lot of fun surrounding that in some ways. And so, but the Reds lose 10-5, and Hunter Strickland gives up four earned runs in the sixth inning. And it was really, the Reds fought to tie it back up. And I thought, oh, here we go. They're down 4-0. They fought back in the sixth to tie it 4-4. But ultimately, they lost with it, giving up a sixth spot in the ninth inning. So, Nate, let's start with the good. What's the good? What's some of the good from that game one loss, the home opener?
The big thing I want to point out, and it's going to be a trend for both these games, is Tyler Naquin is raking the ball. I don't know if anybody saw this coming. I don't know how long it's going to last, but I am going to enjoy it while it does, especially during a series when we didn't have a ton to root for.
Well, sure, Tyler Naquin. I mean, last year, if you'll remember Tyler Naquin, he was either really good or really bad. But when he was really good, he was the best player on the planet. I mean, he was basically Joey Votto's daddy on those when he was good. And Joe, you can reference me on your TikTok account. You're not going to hurt my feelings. Tyler Naquin, absolutely fantastic. Of course, in that first game, Naquin went 2-for-4, scored a couple runs, two RBIs, and had his first home run of the year along with a double. Here's what else I think was good. We probably should have jumped into this first. Kyle Farmer, right? Kyle Farmer, once again, Farmer in the first home game, he was 1-for-2. He scored a run. He's just he's Kyle Farmer. He's like a legitimate contributor here. I don't know. We've given him such a hard time, but he keeps doing exactly everything we want out of a shortstop in some ways, right?
I mean, last season he ended up with some respectable numbers. I guess those of us that were so quick to sort of point out that he had a couple really, really hot streaks. He went on a couple tears, and other than that, it was bad. If he has some level of just sustained decency for the entire season, then yeah, he's a serviceable MLB shortstop, hopefully third base.
Yeah, some of this is us trying to, put a good face on Kyle Farmer and look kind of optimistically at him, but you can't, so far this season, nothing to complain about. Tyler Stevenson. Can we talk about Tyler Stevenson? Also good from game one. That dude is going to win a gold glove, right? Tell me about it.
Oh, man, he has a cannon. I was just listening to that first little bit. I couldn't believe it. He almost got a fourth guy caught stealing. I think the rumor around the big leagues is don't run on Ty Steve. The guy has a cannon. He's a handsome fellow, too, like the ladies in the first few rows. I could be loving it. And he hit the ball a couple times this series, too. He is one of the big bright spots.
Yeah, he was 0-4 that game, but he threw three guys out. I believe they were testing him. I'm going to say Indians 1,000 times. And I'm sorry, the Cleveland football team were testing him early because I don't know. Maybe that was the scouting report on him. The guy didn't have an arm, but man, he looked good. Love Tyler Stevenson. You got anything else that we put in the good column for that 5-run loss in game one?
I want to throw Tony Santillan on there. Pretty much every outing, every time he stepped on the mound this season so far, the short season, he has looked very, very good. And I've loved the way that David Bell has used him. The entire bullpen for most of the game, I thought David Bell, we've harped on a couple times, like, did a really great job. And I had his usage of the bullpen in the positive column until it switched over to the bad column.
Right. Yeah. Right. You know, and we'll talk about bad comes in just a second, but to just kind of reflect on that for a moment, it's exactly what we talked about in our last series recap of the Braves series. He brings in Jeff Hoffman. Jeff Hoffman, two good innings, gave up a couple of hits, but two scoreless innings. Art Warren, a scoreless inning. And then Tony Santillan, of course, just, I mean, the dude's lights out. The dude is just, he's in terms of a short reliever, he's exactly what you're looking for. And then it flipped over to the bad, which was Hunter Strickland in a third of an inning, giving up three hits, four earned runs, and then, of course, Daniel Duarte, the recently demoted to AAA Duarte, gave up a couple of runs in two-thirds of an inning. So it was an awful ninth inning, but, yeah, it was Bell's bullpen usage. But, again, I guess, do you blame him? Yes, maybe, but he used Santillan at a point where, in the eighth inning, where that's a bigger situation you think. What are you going to do? If you got two relievers, go up six runs, what are you going to do? The question, I think, is – go ahead. Should he have sent Tony Santillan back out for that ninth? What do you think?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. He only threw 11 pitches. He breezed through that half inning. He's not tired yet. I don't know what you're saving him for. I think it's my fault. I actually tweeted out, which I rarely do, and again, don't recommend anybody doing it. Look what happens. That I love the way David Bell's been using this pen, and then immediately he pulls Tony Santillan after that half inning. We all know what happens next. So I take responsibility, which means it won't happen again. So you're welcome.
Can I, before we get to the last couple things that are we put in the bad column, one more thing that's in the good column that just occurred to me is, it's something we talked about last game. And I don't even know if you can quantify it, if we're just looking for things to be excited about, but the Reds were down early, right? They were down 4-0 after four innings, really. And they called back to tie the game up. So again, it's just some of that fight. How much credit do you give professionals for continuing to do their job? But we saw it again. They fought to tie it back before giving it up. What else you got in the bad column?
Up next for me, I got to go with the lineup construction. It seems to me that you want to give your best hitters more at-bats. I don't know if this is groundbreaking stuff here, but I would like to see Votto moved up in the order, especially with Pham struggling, and give that extra at-bat every game or every few games to somebody like Joey Votto, who also needs to catch a little fire.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. The other thing I would put in the bad column, I think, and we'll talk about Tyler Mahle in a second. I don't know that I would necessarily put him in the bad column. It wasn't his best start, but it's got to be Mike Moustakas. I mean, how much are we going to continue hammering on this guy? But he batted eighth. He was 0-3 with two strikeouts. I mean, he's hitting, what's his numbers on the year here? I'm going to pull those up. He's hitting 118 on the season. He was 0-77 actually after that first game. He can't play defense, and he's just not hitting. So, again, small sample size. Let's not jump to too many conclusions, but that's definitely the bad column here early in the season. How about some not-so-random thoughts? Anything else we want to talk about the game? The one thing I would say is I mentioned Tyler Mahle, and I guess we kind of need to discuss him. He only gave up one earned run in four innings of work, and his line doesn't look awful. Four innings. Four hits. He just gave up the one earned run, but he did give up four runs. Struck out four, walked two. The issue with giving him too much credit for just having one earned run is that, he had a wild pitch and he made an error that allowed the unearned run. So I hate to give him too much credit, but on the other hand, after two starts, he has an ERA of one. So I'm not going to complain too much, but I don't know, just not vintage Mahle, maybe a little unlucky. Maybe some of that ill luck was his own fault. What else do you have? Any other final thoughts about the first game against the Cleveland football team?
I do feel like we should mention the collision out there with Tommy Pham and Nick Senzel. Pham did not took himself out of the game shortly after his next at bat, and then Senzel stayed in, which is great. I think we were all collectively as Reds fans holding our breath for Nicky Boy, but Pham did not play today, so we'll see how that develops going forward. I haven't heard anything. I don't know if you have.
No, but he was 0-for-2 with a strikeout before going out, so more on Pham later, I think. But I got a text. I was doing something when that collision happened. I wasn't paying attention to the game at that particular moment, and I got a text from the Godfather, Bill Lack, who said, Nick Senzel's out for the season. And I was like, oh, my gosh, what did I miss? Are you kidding me? Yeah, that wasn't funny, Bill. That was not funny. But Nick Senzel's not the one that got hurt, so good for him. So anyway, I guess that's about all to talk about that game one. So the Reds lose their the opener and then come back. And on Nick Lodolo Day, Nick Lodolo's major league debut, the Reds lose 7-3. To the Guardians, and again, so it's a sweep in the short two-game series. There were some good takeaways, I think, though. You want to give me what's your top good takeaway from this four-run loss after a five-run loss?
I hope this is a recurring theme, not the losses, but this guy's name being mentioned in the positive. But again, Tyler Naquin, another great game. A couple RBIs, or is he had a double? Like he's just hitting the cover off the ball, and I'm here for it.
Yeah, and just to kind of recap what happened, the Reds were down 2-2. They were down 6 after the top of the fifth. It was 6-0, and then really not close after that. Reds battled a little bit, I guess you could say, but it really wasn't close after that. And the Reds did kind of rain delayed the game, so maybe that's what we'll blame Lodolo's start on. He was not great, Nick Lodolo. More on that in a second. I want to go. We're still talking about the good things, right? So Tyler Stevenson hits a long ball. He was 2-for-3 on the day. Hit a 2-run homer in the eighth inning, and that's one of those homers. Like, oh, I don't know, you know, they're within grand slam range. You know, maybe we can have a chance. But good day for Tyler Stevenson. What else you got?
The only other thing I really have in the positive for this this game is Jake Fraley. Hitting bombs, making diving plays, saving a couple other potential runs for brother Lodolo. Keep hustling, young fella. Love to see it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, again, his defense was not great early in the season, but yeah, no issues at all. I'm getting a text from my wife. My son's getting ready to bat, so I may have to pull that up here on the show. I guess let's talk about the bad, and you have to kind of talk about Nick Lodolo. Tough start. First inning, gave up a couple singles, but he did strike out Stephen Kwan. First time he'd struck out in 80 plate appearances, almost 80 plate appearances. So second inning, he struck out Framil Reyes as well. Second inning, you know, he hit a couple batters. He walked 3. And again, this is something we talk about with Reaver San Martin, who's a different type of pitcher. But San Martin, as we said in the last series recap, is known for his control. Lodolo as well. He's been known for throwing strikes. And so hits a couple batters, walks 3. It's his major league debut. Probably a little nervous, but he did give up a couple of earned runs thanks to Jake Fraley making that diving grab with 2 outs and the bases loaded. So, oh, look, here we go. FaceTime. Let's see what's going on. So my son's batting. You want to know what's happening? Why don't you tell me? So Nick Lodolo's ultimate line in the game was 4 innings pitched, 7 hits, 5 earned runs, 4 strikeouts, 3 walks. Gave up a couple long balls. Not great, but a rookie pitcher, he's going to be fine. Do not get upset about
Lodolo. Please. This guy has an entire, you know, minor league career's worth of evidence saying that he's not going to walk people like that. He's not going to have control problems. It's his first big league start. It's still opening weekend. I mean, emotions had to be going high. He's going to have lots of bad outings. It's important to keep that in perspective. This is just one of them. He's going to have a lot more good ones for a long time in this Reds uniform, we hope. So not what we wanted to see. I mean, you don't draw it up like that, but it's a pretty realistic representation of what it's like for rookie pitchers in Major League Baseball.
Yeah. Sorry, I had my volume up on the – it's FaceTime from a high school baseball game. The boy's 2-for-3 with a double and 2 RBIs already this game. So, first pitch, ball one.
Probably, you know, sign him up, put him in a Aquino's jersey.
Ooh, yeah. Well, Let's go ahead and talk about Aquino. That's one of the other bad things about this game. Aquino, again. Hold on here. What's one RBI?
Let's go, KC.
All right. Was that just a single?
Single RBI, yeah.
Lame. He should have gotten a double.
Hey, now this is some top-notch journalism. I'm loving it.
Sorry. Yeah, mommy's yelling at me. Get
Reds updates and high school baseball updates in the same podcast.
Exactly. Oh, I should be at the game. Bad dad. Anyway, so Aquino, 0-for-4, four strikeouts. Aquino started twice in the first six games of the season. He struck out four times each of those games. I mean, I don't know what to say. I mean, everyone loves Aquino, but come on. I want to love him, but he needs to give me a reason to. What else do you have there? And you can talk about Aquino if you want, but what else? Is there anything else bad from game two?
We want to be fair here, so I guess it makes sense to mention it was another rough day for our beloved Joseph Daniel Votto. I expect that ship to get righted rather quickly, but what did he go? He was 0-for-4, a strikeout. His average right now is 143, 280 OBP. He's still waiting on that first long ball, which we know is going to come, but it has not been a great start for Joseph.
Right. If you're going to be concerned because the age has finally caught up to him, I'm done with that game. I'm never going to doubt him again, but certainly not the start that that we were looking for. All right. Any other thoughts about this game two? What do you think?
One thing that jumped out to me was that there were a lot of strikeouts and there were zero bases on balls. I don't know. Tommy Pham's done a great job of taking walks. We know that Joey has throughout his career. I hope this is not a trend, throughout the season, but that just kind of jumped out to me that we didn't have a single walk in all those Ks.
Yeah, another sort of thought is, and you pointed this one out, but I'm going to take credit for it here. Jose Ramirez is good for Cleveland. 3-for-4, three RBIs. Obviously, the home run off of Lodolo. Man, that guy, he's a player. He's just a straight player.
We have faced some studs these first two series, and we're going right into another one. Another couple.
Any final thought about that game?
I mean, there were quite a few less people in the stands the day before. I don't know. Maybe they had somewhere else to go.
Barely 10,000 fans in attendance, and yeah, must have found somewhere else to go. More on that in our next podcast. Phil. All right, so I guess if we're going to wrap up this series, Nate, here's what we're going to do: series stud and series dud. Who's your series stud for the Reds this series?
I had to go with Tyler Naquin. He went 4-for-7, two home runs, double, a walk, a couple RBIs. The guy's just mashing the ball right now. He's getting rounds of drinks bought for him at the local bars. He's having to turn him down. He's got to make curfew, but he is having a good time in Cincinnati right now, despite the slow start for the club.
Yeah, my series stud is Tyler Stevenson, and not just because he's a handsome man, but that dude, man, game one didn't get a hit, but was just controlled the game with his glove, or his arm, really. And then, of course, game two, couple hits, home run. Tyler Stevenson is my MVP of the Ohio Cup. Nate, that's the worst part about this is the Reds lost the Ohio Cup.
It's going to be hard.
We're behind in the Ohio Cup now.
It's going to be hard to sleep.
Oh, my goodness. It's the only real competition in all of baseball. All right, so series dud. I'm going to go with Tommy Pham. He didn't play in the second game because he got hurt. He was 0-for-2 in the first game before getting hurt. And I just, I'm not anti-Tommy Pham, but we're now up to 15 at-bats, and he has yet to pick up his first hit for the Reds. Now, again, he does have four walks, so his on-base percentage is 211 points higher than his zero batting average, but the Reds got nothing from him for the second straight series.
Yeah, and I do want to apologize to Mike Moustakas. This is the honorary Mike Moustakas Series Dud Award. I think he's pretty often. But my choice, maybe it's just maybe the position is cursed, but Aquino comes in, gets a couple of bats to replace Tommy Pham, then starts for him the next day. He goes 0-for-6 in those opportunities with five strikeouts, not exactly what you want to do, especially, you know, coming down to the last days of spring training. It was between him and Shogo for that final spot. And I was on here rooting for Shogo. I wanted to give him that chance. I certainly understood when they didn't, but Aquino has not really done much with the opportunity he's been given, and he's been given a pretty good one.
Yeah, it's disappointing. It's disappointing. You give some kids opportunity, they go 3 for 4 with a couple of three RBIs, like, you know, some certain high school kid I know. I want to root for, I root for all these guys, you know, whatever. I root for Mike Moustakas. I don't dislike any of these guys. What do we say? You know, hate the owners, love the team. And I would, if you haven't yet, go click on my Cincinnati Magazine piece from this week, because it's exactly about that dichotomy, which is it's a history of the Sell the Team Bob campaign. But it's also basically a tale of two hashtags, Sell the Team Bob, but also hashtag go red, #brown go reds, right? We cheer for this team. And I do love this team. I love the guys on the field. So, all right. So up next, oh man, we go out west for a 4-game swing against the Los Angeles Dodgers. And game one is one of the classic pitching matchups in all of baseball history. I mean, really, of all time. Walker Buehler for Los Angeles, if you've seen him, you know that guy can flat throw rocks. I mean, he's great. And he's going up against Cincinnati's ace, Luis Sessa. Luis Sessa.
I honestly thought that a mistake had been made when I read that.
We'll talk about that more on our next podcast, but the Reds are allegedly going to try the Tampa Bay Rays model using an opener, which in theory it works good, but this is the Reds not giving any real thought to it, but just trying to copy somebody else. It's anyway, whatever. Go Reds. And then of course, three more games, Gutierrez, Hunter Green, and Tyler Mahle. So, Nate, any final thoughts before we get out of here? Again, this is something we're going to try to do throughout the season, is just quick recaps of the series. All we see is the highlights and lowlights and preview upcoming series. Nate, any final thoughts?
Yeah, let's not get too worked up. This is it's just two games. How this team's going to be throughout the season. We're going to have a good time rooting for them. Hopefully we can steal a couple in Los Angeles the same way they did in Atlanta. I mean, the Dodgers are relying on some guy whose name is actually Mookie, so they can't be that good.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, so the Reds after two series are 2-4 on the season. Thank you for listening to us. We're on YouTube. We're on Patreon.com/Riverfront Cincy. Wherever you find podcasts, we're there. We'll be back in a couple days on Friday with our regular Friday morning episode. But I guess the only thing I have to say here, Nate, and I think you'll probably agree with me, is, I actually thanked you for listening, but why should I? I mean, where are you going to go?
Hopefully here time and time again.
For Nate Dotson and Phil Castellini, this is Chad Dotson. So long, everyone.